This is a HeadGum Original.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
If I were you and you were me, then I'd be you and you. Wait, who am I supposed to be again? Oh yeah, that's right, I think I'm you, my friend.
Whoa, okay. You know, we usually just play this music, shout out the artist, and move on with our lives.
And sometimes we don't even do that.
Yeah, sometimes we forget. But today we actually have the musician that wrote that song. And not only that, Kelsey Ayer, you did not write that song for us. That was some sort of weird cosmic coincidence, because you now have a podcast on the HeadGum Network. So explain that all to me.
Explain the cosmos. Explain the universe.
Yeah, like you... I start from the top. Yeah. God created what?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then like move us all the way to here. You have, let's say, 30 seconds.
So I made this show. My friend started an internet radio station because COVID hit, and he was a creative person, didn't have anything to do anymore. So he was like, you should make a radio show for, and you can do whatever you want. And he's always been a fan of like my comedic side. And so I made this show about six people who had a variety TV show for 10 years on television, and then it got canceled, so they took it to radio. And I wanted to make this into a podcast, asked HeadGum if they would have me, and they did. Thank you, guys. You're HeadGum,
oh,
right?
Yeah. I listened to the...
That's right.
When I heard that pilot, I was like, this is so... It's so bizarre. It's so funny. It's... Do you do all the voices on that show?
Yeah.
That's crazy. How big...
Yeah.
So how big is that cast?
There's six people, and then there's like guests that come on sometimes. Somebody's cousin comes on one time. There's like different people that come on. So, but every show I'll do, each of the one of the cast members will sing a song. And for the second episode, Benjamin on the show, who is like stoned or high all of the time, wrote a song about being on mushrooms, or while he was on mushrooms, and it's called If I Were You. And then I got the podcast to be a HeadGum podcast, and then Claire at HeadGum was like, hey, there's a show called If I Were You, and they take songs based on the title of the show. Can you write something? And I was like, I wrote... This is already part of the show. Like, do they want to use that? Maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what the fuck?
It's a perfect
wild
fit.
Yeah.
Just like cosmic kinship.
That's right. And the show, very aptly named, the Kelsey Ayer
on the radio
TV show.
The Kelsey Ayer TV show on radio.
As a podcast.
So Kelsey Ayer TV show on radio on HeadGum.
A friend convinced me to give it a really long name, which I constantly am regretting.
It's got to be good for your SEO, though.
Yeah?
Yeah. There's a lot of shows that are like, if I Were You, titled, and people can't necessarily find our podcast. If somebody searches Kelsey Ayer on TV, on the radio, they'll definitely find it.
And our other web series was called Lonely and Horny, so that's like really tough to type into a search engine. You don't want to do that.
You're probably finding more videos than podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
That's right.
Go ahead and Google that.
So on this here show, we answer people's questions, and we figure, you know what, why don't you stick around for a question? You can help us dissect this sticky situation and maybe provide some insight that Jake and I usually can't. Because you're in Texas right now. Usually we have advice from the West Coast and East Coast.
Straight in the middle.
Now we can get it from somewhere in the middle.
I'm in the middle, and let me say, I am the authority on all things Texas. Yeah.
And who doesn't want advice from Texas? Let's
right.
hear it.
All right, so all we need is a fake name that we can call this guy so that we can, you know, preserve some level of anonymity. We don't want to out him outright on this podcast.
You don't,
so what should we call
you
this
don't want to dox him?
Yeah.
Exactly. Then people, all of our millions of fans, like, find where he lives and they right. start egging
it's,
his
we've
house.
We've only ever doxed accidentally like 5 to 10 people, I would say.
Mm. And they're probably fine with it. Because it's a nice dox.
They were happy at the end of the day.
Yeah. It's not what's finally. Commonly known as, you know, the normal dox.
A pro dox.
Is this, yeah. this so this it's guy's, like, so who, do I get to name him?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's a dude or a lady?
You get to name him anything you want.
Okay.
A Canadian dude.
Oh, Shane.
Shane. That's perfect.
Dude, Shane.
You took 3 minutes of just lost in thought, and then you came out with the perfect name. Shane.
Shane's a cool
name. It's not bad, right? And he's like looking at snow right now. He's got flannel on. It's like total Shane.
Oh, yeah. He's got one of those like hunting caps on with the flaps. Yeah.
Yes.
I could see that.
Yes.
In a cold pocket of Canada writes, longtime listener working up the nerve to send a theme song. Oh. There you have it. But in the meantime, I have a question.
Do it like Kelsey did.
I was dating a girl about a year and a half ago when, due to some extreme intoxicated errors, I kissed someone else and we broke up. I'm terribly ashamed of it, but it is what it is and I can't change it. That being said, I recently discovered that she left a ring of hers at my house, and I believe it was a family heirloom of some sorts. So, I haven't spoken to her since we broke up in July, and I think that's the way she wants it, because again, I was not a great person. However, I'm considering breaking the radio silence to ask her if she wants me to drop off this thing. I asked my roommate, and they presented 3 different options. 1, keep the ring and pretend I never found it. 2, put it in a bag and drop it in her mailbox. Or 3, just message her like a normal person. It's a bit of a ridiculous situation, but I don't want to bug her in case the ring isn't hers. And as I said, we haven't spoken to her anything since July, so it's clear that she prefers us not speaking. Your fan, who stays away from alcohol for now, Shane.
All right, Shane.
Oh,
these are 3 bad options, it seems, right?
No, I like
it. Really
one
depends
of them.
On the context, right?
I like one of the options.
Did it say how long they dated for?
I think a year and a half.
A year and a half.
So I have a decent decent relationships with all my exes, where it's like just everyone is cool, everyone is nice, and everyone is friendly. And my wife always makes fun of me for that and always gives me shit because she does not have that experience. Mm. And a lot of, you know, most people don't.
Yeah.
So in my head, I'm like, oh, I would feel fine reaching out to any ex, but I've never cheated on anybody.
That's the wrinkle. That's probably right. why they're friends with you still, yeah. because you didn't betray
all my exes hate me, and I pretty much universally cheated on them. So it makes sense.
Actually, all your exes live in Texas, so Kelsey is probably near them too. So like, there's probably some sort of exes for Jake's convention going on in Texas right now. And you can ask them what they'd want to do with the ring.
Wait, don't dox me. Oh my God. Don't tell them what's happening.
Here come the eggs. Well, what would you guys do? Would you guys text? Would you guys throw it off? Would you guys ignore it?
The reason they're all bad options is because if you message, which I think is the best, is like sort of the best option, but it's not her ring, then it kind of looks like you're a scumbag, like sleeping around, and like women are just leaving jewelry at your place all the time. And if you drop it off at her house, worst case scenario is it is her ring and she knows that only you could have left it in a bag on her doorstep, and you look like a asshole then too. And then you can't just keep the ring. That's why I think there's no good option. But I do have an alt.
Okay.
So do you want to hear it? Okay. You have a roommate text or get in touch with her. And the roommate just pretends they're the one that found the ring. He said he lives with roommates. You say, hey, so-and-so, I think I maybe found a ring of yours under the couch, whatever. Is this your ring? And then you're not even involved, but she gets the ring back.
But isn't that just as bad as the guy texting? Like, you got that roommate got her phone number from the guy. And then it's like, now it's another layer to unpack.
Well, you don't need a number. You could get in touch with somebody a million different ways. Like if they just are on Instagram or something. And that way it's like, it's not necessarily like this guy thinks this ring is yours, but isn't sure. And, you know, she could be mad at him because like if it's a family heirloom, then hell, he should have known. And if it's not her ring, then he's a scumbag.
Do you? Okay.
So you take him out of the situation.
Well, let's take into account that they're Canadians. So maybe they're like a little nicer, like a tiny bit.
That's true.
And
sorry about that. Sorry about that.
Sorry about that. And maybe since July, like she's gotten over it, or they have moved on enough. I don't know.
It was only a kiss.
What if you drive to her house and you get on one knee and say, I found this, is this ring. You dropped this, queen. That's not my ring. I think it belongs to the girl that you cheated on me with. Really?
Man.
Shit.
Oh, man.
The biggest wrinkle of all is that he clearly still has feelings for her. Like, he regrets the breakup. He's overthinking getting in touch with her. He's not drinking anymore because he feels so bad. Like, maybe beyond the ring, there's some kind of closure that you're seeking. And you don't even have to worry about the ring for right now. You just can say, I want to apologize. And then at the end be like, by the way, is this yours? Or something. Or you use the ring for the closure. You say, is this your ring? Can I return it to you? Let's get coffee, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Using it as like an olive branch to apologize, I think that's probably should be a part of it. Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
And then you could do something like, and you can keep it. You can have this ring if you accept my apology. You can kind of use it as a leverage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, this is when we start getting into real sticky territory. Just drive by her house and throw the ring, and then she'll be like, oh, the snow melted, and I found this old ring or my old ring, and it has nothing to do with this guy anymore. If you want to stay completely out of it.
Yeah, if you don't forgive me, I'm melting this ring, okay? And I'm going to make a really obnoxious nose ring and give it to the girl I cheated
That's
on
so
you with.
That's so hot.
Okay? And
that's how bad I need closure.
Yeah. And I'll buy all the masonry melting pot shit on Amazon, and I'll do it myself. Mm-hmm.
It's going to look like fucking Mordor in my garage. Don't you worry about that.
Shane, shut up. I love you. I needed to hear that. You never used to say weird shit like that. Now I want to get back together with you.
You've
changed everything about us.
You never were so weird to me. Weird and threatening to me with my precious belongings.
My precious. Mm-hmm. It all goes back to Lord of the Rings.
Did we choose?
We gave options, but why don't we do, let's literally, like the song, like the podcast says, what would you do if that were you? I would probably ignore it and pretend I didn't see it, just move on with my life. And
you're an asshole. You're a ring thief.
Sorry.
You're fucking Smeagol. You're a golem.
All right. Yeah, I just, you lost the ring, and I'll just pretend I never found it, and then I don't have to think about it anymore. That's what I would do.
I would do the alt thing. That I'd ask my roommate to do it. Yeah, I would have someone else return the ring for me because I'm a I'm conflict averse.
Yeah, I would. I am also conflict averse, I would probably think about it for like another year, and then like forget about it, and then 5 years later I would remember it, and then I'd be like, oh shit, and then I would be like, it's too late, and then it'd be over. That's probably what.
So sort of a
realistically, that's what I would do. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
No offense to Miranda.
Yeah, it's definitely Miranda.
Listen, you can't be wrong when you're saying what you would do. That's your truth, and that's fair.
Thanks.
All right, Kelsey, one more time. What's that podcast?
The Kelsey Air TV show on radio, the podcast. Maybe I just like start doing that because it's like
The ride.
Yeah, the ride, the experience,
and
the
you
book.
You can just go to headgum.com and it's there. That's like the easiest way
for
to find
sure.
it.
Yeah, you guys would know. Right. Your HeadGum. Yeah,
or you can search.
Will you tell us, give us like the elevator pitch for the podcast, even though you sort of already did, but that it was tied into this theme song.
Right.
So how would you describe the podcast to anybody?
It's this late night TV show host and his cast members got their television show of 10 years canceled, and they're trying to revive it on radio as a podcast.
There you have it.
There it is.
And it's amazing. It's excellent, heartwarming, so funny and thoughtful. And the person who does it is just like so handsome. And
that's you?
Yes. Yes.
It is wildly impressive that you're able to do this and you're just also a professional musician on the side. Like, you're doing comedy.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about your other
yes.
career.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell everybody what you do aside from the podcast?
So I'm in a medium font size Coachella band called Local Natives.
Nice.
Medium font size Coachella. Yeah. That's a great descriptor to.
Yeah, it's you get in that font size, it's hard to move up. It's all good. I'm appreciative to be any font size. That is Zen 2021 talking.
I like it.
I'm in this.
Any font size is okay.
I'm in this band. I've been in Local Natives for. I've been singing with these guys for 16 years.
Jesus.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Dude, a long time. And then all our tours got canceled. And I've loved comedy so much, and I've always loved making my friends and them laugh and stuff. And I've always wanted to do it in some form. I've tried like open mic stand-ups on the road that have either they've either been fine or horrible.
That sounds scary. That sounds fucking
terrifying.
Yeah,
it's rough. I did some groundlings classes, but apparently you need to commit. You need to marry the groundlings for 10 years straight. To do anything, to get anywhere with that, Jesus Christ. But so finally the pandemic happened and my friend was like, do a radio show and you can do whatever you want. And this thing just happened. And, I was like stunned that it felt like it happened so quickly. It was over the summer. Every week I tried to like finish a whole episode with like a fake commercial and a joke song and a skit and so like all of these are that's on the podcast. They're all like tinkered with, but basically were made in the span of a few days.
Damn, that's really impressive. And I mean, we love it. We're honored to have it on the network.
All right, cool. Well, Kelsey, thank you so much for dropping by, for lending your voice, for lending your song, for having a podcast, and for answering that question.
Oh yeah,
amazing. Yes, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Well, let's take a break and come back with more questions and answers after these messages. This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HeadGum at checkout to save.
HeadGum. Nice.
Yes.
HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's auraframes.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. It's right. They have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design mm-hmm. a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace. Yes. That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like...
Interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards yeah. to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness,
it's
nah.
It's an anti-movement, really. Oh, it's that's a non-movement good. That's movement.
Is anti-movement yeah. one? Anti-movement seems like it should be.
I'll have to check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Antimovement.com is not available. Don't
yeah.
buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't. But so it's fitness, more of a fitness nah. yeah, it's more of a yeah. fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough mm-hmm. is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% ooh. Off their already low, low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace.
And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a little sooner than five. Mom, I'm coming.
Gross.
You know, I think kind of. I watched a show recently that I pretty much liked. It was pretty good.
You pretty much liked, and it was pretty good, and you want to advise people to watch it? Okay.
I vaguely craved watching it. Like, Jill didn't want to watch it as fast as I wanted to watch it, you know? Like, that's okay. how I feel like a show is good, where I'm like, can we watch the next episode? Like, hey, what are you doing? Do you want to watch an episode of blank? You
know? Yeah, yeah. And she said no,
so
though.
It was like that. Well, no, she was into it also, so... It's so hard to find a show that like everybody likes and we're all on the same episode of, and it's just like when you find a show that you're watching with someone, it's like, you know, it feels good. So I want to give someone listening that feeling.
How many times do you watch a pilot and you're like, nope, that's not it. We're not watching another episode of that, or we give up.
I feel like more often I'm spending way too much time looking for the perfect show to start.
I see.
Like, I think I've wasted like hours of valuable TV watching time scrolling through TV, starting something for like a few seconds and then not liking it, reading a list about what's available, trying to sign up for like a free weekly trial of Stars so I can watch something, you know?
Uh-huh.
I feel like all of the hunting for the TV takes a longer time. And usually by the time I've watched a pilot, I feel like I'm committing to watching the first season. Like I've
first
finished
season.
10 episodes of shows that I hated. Yeah.
Wow. Definitely. Like what? What's a show that you hated but you watched a full season of?
Your Honor on Showtime, Bryan Cranston.
Oh, Avital watched that and really liked it, I think.
Well, she's actually not right to do that.
It was like an Israeli miniseries or something?
No, you're thinking of a different thing. You're thinking of Tehran.
I think he plays a judge, right? And then his son is like it. Yeah, I think that was an Israeli miniseries. And they made
they
it
adapt.
Into...
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. There was another Israeli miniseries that they adapted called Tehran. But I guess that was on Apple TV. Anyway.
But that was the entire show. That wasn't just the first season, right? Like they made 8 episodes and that's it forever, I think.
Oh, of Your Honor?
Yeah.
Yes, I believe that is correct. And it seems like, I don't know, it was so bad. They like found out in the, like, while they're filming, I think COVID fucked it up. And then they found out like after they had shot some of the other episodes that they weren't getting a second season. So they like had to tie it up in an episode. And
I see.
It was all garbage. It's so bad. It's a really bad show. My show that I like, that's actually good, is called The Bridge. It's a reality TV competition show.
Okay. Yeah. Why not just watch sports at a certain point? The ultimate reality competition show is like 8 hours of basketball every day. Why is The Bridge better than that?
Because in The Bridge, it's like 12 people from the United Kingdom in the north, like countryside of England in the woods, building an 850-foot bridge to a little island where there's $100,000 in cash. So they have to work together to build the bridge there. It's shot really well. It's narrated by James McAvoy, which you can't say about basketball. And I think the reason that sports are interesting is, to me anyway, is like when there's emotional stakes, you know, like you can't just turn on a game and be like, oh, this is good. I'm watching good basketball. Like, I like to know the stories of people on the team. Like, these guys have a rivalry. This person has never beat this person, you know?
Right.
Like, stuff like that. And that's what the bridge really gives you. It gives you the backstory.
Yeah, it's weird with basketball, the players get paid either way. So it's weird that they care so much. Like, at the end of the year, the players that made $30 million should be jumping for joy like they just won a championship, whether or not they actually did. And then players should walk off the court bummed and upset, even if they did win a championship, if they don't make as much cash.
I think they're just like driven by being competitive. Like, it's got to be part of your nature to like strive to be the best means like you love winning. I wonder if you could like ask LeBron if he would choose to get paid less and win a championship or get paid more and lose every year. It feels like he would want to win every year.
Yeah. And that's why I'll never make it. Cause like, as soon as I ink that huge contract, I'm going to be celebrating. Yeah. Like if Mike Conley is a non all-star point guard, makes $35 million a year, I'm just at the end of every game, whether we lost by 20 or won by 6, I'm sort of popping the champagne in the locker room after.
Because you're rich. Anybody asks me,
yeah, I made $1.6 million this week. That's why I'm fucking thrilled.
Yeah,
and it's getting into the eyes of like a 10-day contract undrafted rookies that are making like $68,000. They have to celebrate with me.
I mean, the contracts have clauses. So, like, if you're drunk every night, hungover off of champagne on the court, you would be in breach of your contract. Like, they probably stipulate that you have to, like, try. You know,
I didn't read the
things.
I didn't read the fine print.
There is fine print. You know, Aaron Boone, actually, the reason the Yankees got A-Rod is because Aaron Boone broke his, or fucked up his knee playing pickup basketball, which was actually a violation of his contract. He wasn't allowed to play pickup basketball. So they were able to drop him and they picked up A-Rod. And for that, sir, you are cut from the Grizzlies. That's right.
Well, he's on Utah now, so that's probably fine for Mike Conley specifically. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
the Jazz don't mind.
Yeah. So anyway, it's these guys are building a bridge, to cash, and we're supposed to just sort of watch them. And that they have to, are they like engineers, or is it just like me and you trying to guess what a bridge would look like?
It's they're all such random. They all have very random jobs. There's one guy who like is kind of an engineer. He works on cars, and then eventually, like a military vet who was an engineer comes in the middle of the show. I don't want to spoil anything, okay? Like, you've got to just see for yourself. But the point is that the $100,000, only one of them will win it, but they still all have to work together to get to the island. So, like, just for the opportunity to win $100,000, they need to work together building the bridge. And then once they've done that, then they don't know who is going to win or how, but they know only one person will walk away with the money. And they keep on playing, like, mind games with people. Like, at some point, like somebody has a choice to like either bring like tools that they need back to the camp to help with the bridge, or he can take $5,000 from the pot.
It seems like they're making up rules as they go along in this weird.
They certainly are.
Have you seen Survivor? Like, people really like Survivor, and that's like more cash.
I haven't seen Survivor.
Yeah.
I have not seen Survivor. It's really like, it's funny. I think of myself as somebody who doesn't care about reality TV, and I don't really watch any reality TV, but then like something like Love is Blind came on, and I fucking loved it. I think I love reality TV, and I try to avoid it unless like somebody ropes me into it, and then I like binge consume all of it.
Yeah, I think everybody likes reality TV. The thing is that people that don't like it are just not watching it, and so they don't get sucked in.
Right.
But like, if you forced someone to sit down and watch 3 episodes of 10 different reality TV shows, they'll probably want to continue watching like 8 out of the 10. Like, they're chemically made to be addictive, and you're just naturally wanting to watch more.
That's right. That is correct.
I remember like just getting into like 8 years ago, like a real estate Bravo show, or like Persian Dudes of Beverly Hills. Like,
yeah,
it's not something that I liked, but like once you watch 4 of them, you're like, ooh, I can't wait to find out what these people are up to this week.
Yeah. It's almost like a podcast, actually. Once you like just sort of know somebody, you like get someone's vibe. You're like, oh yeah, I'll just like watch them do stuff. They're my friend, you know?
Yeah. Oh, interesting. We should do that. We should start like a podcast about like...
We already have a podcast. That's what this segment is.
We can give tips about like what we're watching, answer some questions, and let people into our lives.
Podcast.
That's true.
I get that. Why would we start a second project?
My identity was stolen.
No shit.
Actually.
Really? You shouldn't have made it your Instagram bio.
I was taken advantage of. And I had to become somebody's dog for a week.
I was sacked and hacked.
If you're wondering why I'm poor and sad today... You know why. I signed up for an account.
And I need an accountant.
And it wasn't real. I haven't paid my taxes in a day, which is fine, because I'm not making cash at the moment.
Because I paid estimated through 2024.
I'm in between slobs. So these two sort of messy billionaires pass me around back and forth. 1 week with Tim, 1 week off. 1 week with Rob, 1 week off. So right now I'm in between slobs on Bravo. And like the show is about what happens when I'm between these
90
two
Day
slobs.
Fiance. I think that's the premise of 90 Day Fiance.
Really?
I can't be certain, but I think that is.
Oh, actually, we got a question about scamming. So why don't we answer this guy's question? We'll call him Scam... What's a famous person whose name is Sam?
Sam Mendez, the director?
Yeah, call this guy Scam Mendez.
Nice.
Sup, Jews. I matched with a girl on Hinge, and she was cute and seemed fun and cool. Anyway, we were chatting, and she mentions that she actually doesn't live in my city of D.C., but is moving here in a couple weeks. We've been texting back and forth for a couple days, but today she asked me to help her move. Is this girl for real, or is she scamming me to get some free labor just with a promise of a date and possibly not even pizza and beer? Thanks, love, Scam Mendez. So this lady is chatting, is like, yeah, I actually don't live in DC, but I am moving if you can help me carry the couch out of the U-Haul and up the 2 floors. It's a 3rd-story walk-up, and then afterwards maybe we can get a drink. Is moving a cute first date, or is it terrible?
Bad. Very not good, I think. It's a cute first date to help someone pick up a lamp that they bought on Craigslist or something like that. Like a furniture pickup that's something lighter than armchair or less. Okay? Nightstand, maybe. No dresser. No couch, no soap, not even a love seat.
okay, if I can be fucking real with everybody, I don't think a chore, look, a chore is a bore. That's what I'll say.
This is you on the bridge explaining why you took $5,000 instead of asking for nails. Listen, we can build the bridge, but I'd rather have a fucking VW bug when I get back. So I took
Will someone
cash.
Here date me?
I'm serious. I'll help you move when we get back off the island or on the island, whatever the fuck we're supposed to do. Yeah.
At the same time, she like I don't think that it's necessarily a scam. I feel like this person's moving to a new city or a new neighborhood and they don't know anybody yet. So they do genuinely need help.
But yeah, a scam would be like, hey, meet me here. And then it's like, oh, there's a U-Haul filled with couches and now you have to move them. Like, yeah. She's being kind of upfront about her intentions, which is to help you.
Right. If anything, it'd be more of a scam if she wanted to help you move, because then all your stuff's in a truck and she could drive away or something, you know?
That's actually a pretty good scam. Yeah, that's really
good,
actually.
It's a solid scam. Yeah, you, like, date somebody and say, I can help you
move. I wonder.
It doesn't... You have a job. You run a podcast network.
I know, but I'm just wondering if I could...
And we have a Patreon, and it's just like, you're...
Because I can get on Hinge.
You don't need to...
Right now, not I'm everything. Sort of in between two sloths.
Sloths, so if we I know. Can, not everything so, needs to be a grift. Not everything is an opportunity for you to fucking con people out of their money. By the way, you couldn't be on Hinge. You couldn't close if you were paid to. Okay? You wouldn't get
You
a
really
match.
Don't think I can steal a chair off Hinge. Holy shit. I'm going to set up a profile right now, yeah, and I'm going to leave here... With an Ames.
Yeah. 6 months to get a fucking Herman Miller or better? I don't think so. I don't think
so. My aim is to get an Ames. All right? So that's what I'm sort of going for. And once I'm there and I have the chair, buyers beware, you'll owe me $5,000 at the end of the day.
Talk about buyer's remorse. I mean, come on.
What?
I was just making a, I mean, what? I was making a joke about how anybody who matched with you would be regretful, because don't even take it personally, because you were talking about robbing them. Why are you looking at me like you're upset?
You really think that I'm not good enough to be with a chair owner, right? Say it. You've been sort of hemming and hawing around that whole issue. So why don't we... Why don't you say what you're hawing. Thinking? Yeah, say what you think.
This entire conversation started with me saying that you couldn't get with somebody that had a chair and eat.
Wow. And he said 6 months. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Episode 476.
Or you didn't.
And the truth comes flowing out.
That's right.
Congratulations.
Yep.
No.
Thank you.
I've been in therapy for 20 years and I never made a breakthrough like that. That's really good. Thank you. You actually fucking said it.
You can stop clapping. You can really stop doing that.
Yeah. That just... I knew you were going to say it, and it still hurt to hear. Because, like, I didn't think you had the balls to fucking stare me over the Zoom
you
eyes
asked
and
me
say,
to say it.
Yeah. You don't have what it takes to get with someone who has a chair. Say it if you think
Oh, and my
that.
Girlfriend? She's a chair owner.
What? She, like, she owns a chair store or like a furniture line? No. She has a set of like four chairs that she bought from IKEA. And
an accent seat and an ottoman to boot.
God, I love a girl with a good accent seat or better. So... This lady asks you to help her move. You're saying, I'm unavailable that day, or I don't think that's a good idea, but let me know when you're settled in.
Yeah, I feel like, I think you can just get out of it without being like, I don't think we're at the stage where I can help you move. I think you could find out the date that she's doing it and just say you're not available. That's fine. I don't think that she's like, counting on you. It sounds like it was a kind of a casual ask. So like,
yeah.
You're going to be okay, but I would not do it. I think it's cute for a second, but then moving is hard. There's highs and lows. You don't want to be there for the lows. Like, imagine.
But how do you get out of, like, if she's like, hey, could you help me move on Saturday? What do you say?
I would be like, this Saturday? And she'd be like, yeah. I was like, is there any other day you could do it? And then she'll say, no, it has sure. to be this Saturday.
Sunday. Let's okay, do it on well, Sunday then.
Is it this weekend? I'm going out of town. I actually.
I'll do it for Monday for you, sweet cheeks, as long as you can help me for free.
It's a long weekend, actually. It's a long weekend.
It's a long everything, baby. Let's do Tuesday then. No pizza or beer, but you'll be there, my dear. And you can help me move. Unless you have a hemorrhoid. And now she's sort of put you in a checkmate Queen's Gambit situation where you have to admit you either have an anal fissure of sorts or you can help her lift up the armoire.
Yeah, I guess if she backed me into that much of a corner, I would admit that my anus had a popped little blood vessel on it and I couldn't exert myself too much.
That's really hot.
I wouldn't want anything to happen to my ass.
What if you show up and there's five other guys that she's been chatting with, all on a hinge, all down to help her move? Now that's like a sitcom baby.
Episode.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's take a break, thank some more sponsors, and come back with more questions and answers after this.
Oh yeah.
Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for, and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
That's
need.
Amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on yeah. this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I was high.
Bark box. Yeah, bark
yeah,
box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, yes. dozens of them a month. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn, and I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes. And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most of it yours. Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rocket Money.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
And we're back. Hey, all right, hey. One last question. This one's a goodie. This one's a lady who we'll call, who's a lady on bridge? Or is it the bridge?
The bridge. Jesus. I don't remember anybody's name. I remember. Oh God!
What about Bridget? It's sort of like that's a female bridge.
Yeah, that's perfect. I don't think anybody cares about the bridge too much.
All right, Bridget writes: my boyfriend turned fiance proposed to me recently, and I'm genuinely excited to marry him. As we told friends and family, I started to learn some of the details behind the engagement. He decided to propose sometime in early December, so I started doing the math. In late November, I mentioned to him out of nowhere that I thought I ought to give him more blowjobs. I Don't remember what got me thinking about it, but we've been together for 4 years, and while other things have increased in frequency, I admittedly haven't gone down on him much this past year, as I had when we first started dating. To put it bluntly, after this conversation in November, I approached sucking dick with the enthusiasm of a misguided Dyson engineer. Sheesh. Wow. Here's my question. Should I be worried that he proposed a few weeks after this started? Specifically, I'm worried that the dopamine from copious cock-sucking put him in a state of mind where getting engaged to ASAP seems like a good idea. Given the short amount of time between his decision to propose and when we got engaged, I'm worried that I'll regret this in a few months when the dust has settled. Should I bring it up or just hope the timing is unrelated? This is like a modern Seinfeld or an Always Sunny subplot. He only proposed to me because I was going down on him more often. This is a life hack.
For what?
Like, if you ever want the dude to do something, it's like, okay, let's give him the fucking dopamine rush, and then he'll, I don't know, propose or give me that chair that I've always wanted. So, like, for example, I really want, like, let's say I'm talking to you and I really want, I'd love to like stay at your house this summer, and you're like, probably not.
And then
I would blow you back away. I would go down on you for a month.
Ew, in a row?
See, now we're talking about it. Let's fucking negotiate. You're at the very least intrigued as to what this could lead to.
The length of time.
I show up with a chair.
The length of time sparked joy. Because I was able to disassociate it from it happening from you. Really, what's at the core here is that you are the type of partner who, apropos of nothing, decided that you wanted to be a more generous oral sex giver, like without expecting anything in return. You were just like, you know what? I don't go down on you enough. I'm going to start doing it. I think, regardless of like, if it wasn't exclusively the busting nuts and stuff, but it feels kind of like if you're with somebody that's that kind of thoughtful, blowjobs aside, but just, you know, somebody that is a giver, yeah. I would say, I think that makes you marriage material. And it's not necessarily tied to the blowjob. The blowjob is an extension of the type of person you are.
Yeah. I mean, and I should say this goes either way. Like, if I ever wanted to make sure that, like, my lover was giving me the things that I wanted, whether it be the chairs or if I wanted some sort of favors in return, I would also use this, quote, life hack in which I would go down on them to the point where they were giving me treats. They were giving me sweets, and they were giving me seats, quite frankly. I want that.
That's what you want,
Miller. I want the Ames. Yeah, I need a place to park my ass and sit down and enjoy myself. But yeah, I think, like you said, the dopamine rush was from oral sex in this specific instance. But the idea of you wanting to be a more generous person in general, yeah, maybe that had something to do with it. But I don't think you need to bring it up or... I don't think that this is dangerous or bad in any way.
Yeah. The other factors to consider are like when, I think that you start thinking about proposing a lot longer before you actually start activating on it. Like if he started ring shopping around this time, he'd been thinking about it longer. It's not like a casual thing to like set up the engagement without like thinking about it ahead of time.
But even if he was on the fence and she blew him towards one side or another, I don't know if she's like worried. I don't know if that's anything to worry about. I don't think he's doing it just to get a chair out of you, if that's what you're thinking. I doubt like that's the situation.
It's not head for chairs. That's not what's happening.
Unless it's like a really dope ass seat. I wouldn't see that. I wouldn't consider anything.
What's a dope ass seat besides a Herman Miller, which you keep on bringing up?
If you're a chair boy or a Barca lounger, I was gonna say a big boy that you can just sort of fall back into. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, something like that, maybe. But yeah, probably not. I think he genuinely does want to be with you forever, right? It's not about the weird bet he made to get a chair.
Who did he make a bet with to get a chair, do you think?
Exactly. I don't think anybody, unless it's like his cousin. And they had this
feels like you're the only person that would do that. Is this your cousin? Did you make a bet with your cousin
to propose to his girlfriend so
he could get you a chair?
I've been at a standing desk for so long that I've started coveting these fucking recliners, I guess. And I see them.
A couple weeks ago, like your Pavlovian advice was to get a standing desk, wasn't it?
Yeah, now I can't fucking look at a seat without getting half chubbed for it. That's like a weird sexual Pavlovian response. I don't know if
you don't have any other seats in your house. Did you get rid of your chairs?
No, it's here. But you know what they say: chair today, gone tomorrow. I got rid of most.
Cherish what you have. You have
nice. Thank you. Actually, you were just saying that they got rid of one of your favorite drinks from the Starbucks, so you understand what it's like to love something and then one day it goes away forever.
Yeah, that's right. I believe I've talked about on the show that I get the dark cocoa almond milk cold brew.
Yeah, and then
started off as a treat, you know, on the weekends. Led into to kick off a Monday to celebrate a Friday.
If I had sounds like an AA meeting,
hard workout. Yeah, it kind of is, and then. Before I fucking knew it, I was getting a venti cold brew with dark cocoa almond foam every single morning. I'd have a bad day if I didn't get one. And it got to the point where I was like, I need to stop drinking this drink. And it would often happen as I was in the car on the way home from Starbucks drinking my drink. And I'd be like, you know what? Tomorrow I'm just going to get a fucking black coffee like I used to. And every single day I said it to myself, but in the morning I would forget because I just had that expectation and that wish fulfillment. And then today, my brother texted me a screenshot of the Starbucks app with the drink that we always order, and it said out of season, like they took it off the menu, like mocha's not in for the spring or something, even though it was on the menu in the summer. And
yeah,
I'm finishing a story. It was more than a gut punch. It was an ass kick. It was a slap in the face more than a slap on the wrist. Do you know what I'm saying? It's a knock upside the head.
You wanted this so you can't get chocolate milk anymore or something.
Shot through the heart. Yeah. Yeah. Because I wanted to give up on this drink. And the drink gave up on me first. And that's fine. What hurts the most.
Yeah.
No, not, that's not fine. So that's what hurts the most.
It's nice. So you'll get something else. Something else will be your seasonal drink or whatever the fuck. Who cares?
It's not about a seasonal. I got it year round. I got it year round.
Dark almond cocoa powder. What was it?
It's cold brew. And then they mix the cocoa powder, the mocha, fudge sauce, the sauce, the mixy sauce, the mocha sauce, dark cocoa almond powder, and the almond milk, and then it gets blended up and it gets poured in my cold brew. Nice. It's all about the sauce.
Have you thought of, you know, combining your passion for this drink and your newly found joy in cooking, and perhaps you can make this or an equivalent at home?
Yeah, I have. The issue, the real issue is ice. Because I can get the sauce.
Sorry, you can get this very proprietary Starbucks cocoa powder, but you can't get ice? What are you talking about? Ice is so much more common. Yeah,
it's the chip ice at Starbucks. It's that fucking, it's like filling up an... It's filling up a cup with crunchy, crispy ice. That's what's nice. That's why they call me fucking liquid nice. All right?
I thought they called you Guyton Ice, which is obviously more apropos because it's ice themed. So
I was going to say they called me Guyton Ice, but then I think that's your nickname.
Actually,
so you like ice so much that they call you liquid nice, which is the one thing ice is not.
It ultimately didn't work because I realized midway through that you were Guyton ice, but I had to finish it. All right. So thanks for calling me out. Thanks for calling me out. I basically had a pitch perfect soliloquy and fucking stumbled on the 1 yard line. That's all you're going to remember. Not cool.
Damn. Does this mean?
I mean, that you in the dirty? Yeah. For not fucking. Not giving me an attaboy for really crushing what I think was, bringing a pretty vulnerable piece of myself to the podcast, for which I obviously am going to win the golden mic because I think that connection, that raw emotion, that's what people respond to. That's what people respect. That's what I respect. And I appreciate the golden mic and winning it for not necessarily a joke, but for just being real. I think that's really awesome. And I appreciate
that. I can be real. I've been real before. And you said that was turdy worthy behavior. No one wants to get to know the real us. It's all about make them laugh, make them smile, make them crack up, which I'm trying to do. But then you said I get the turn for this week.
Sometimes you try too hard. The whole fucking... The chair thing was tacky.
It stemmed from a question. How is it tacky? We were trying to answer it. I thought it was
over the top.
A solid.
It was a little tacky. You hammed it up and you phoned it in, if I'm being honest. The Beasley thing? The Mike Beasley thing?
What?
The Mike Conway thing? The Mike Conley? Yeah, no. It was tacky.
You don't even remember. You don't even remember what I said. You're saying it's tacky.
But yeah, no, I do appreciate winning the GM, and you got the big T. T's for turdy.
No, I know. I know. I have it, I guess, every episode. I'm starting to realize, regardless of what I do, right?
And every single one, but most for sure.
Okay. Great. Nice. You got it. You lost the drink, but you got the fucking award. Congratulations.
Do you still go to Starbucks every day?
No, I'm doing the home cold brew thing. So like I just buy a jug of cold brew and I add oat milk to it, which I guess is more
jug of cold brew. Do you, yeah. It's cost effective. Do you do the concentrate or do you do the full, just like, you know, like a liter jug of just straight cold brew?
I think it's like half concentrate. So like I add enough almond milk or oat milk to the cold brew where it's like almost a 1-to-1 or a 2-to-1 ratio.
Nice.
How many do you drink a day? I don't even know if it's cost of one in the morning. Yeah. I don't think it is cost effective because the jug is $10. I guess it might be if it lasts me like 4 or 5 days. It's still like $2 to $3. It's
like, right. It's like barely cost effective. The most cost effective, I guess, is what buying beans and making it yourself, but it's hard to get cold brew right. Cold brew, like I'd make iced coffee at home, but that's just like hot coffee that I put in the fridge.
I think that's what it is. Like I saw this Instagram ad for the blue bottle cold brew thing, which is probably like a lot fancier than it needs to be, and it was like just this huge jug that you put coffee beans in and then you fill it up with water and you literally leave it in your fridge overnight, and that's what cold brew is. You just have to let it go for longer and let it give it enough time to cool off. So I guess maybe that's the most cost efficient thing.
Yeah. I think that my newfound love of cooking, which I would describe as me becoming like a chef.
I know you would. Sort of a
gastronomist, gastroeconomist. Yeah,
learn what it is before you say that you
trying.
Are that.
I'm trying, okay?
You're trying to learn what it means.
I'm being real. That's all it is. That's all nice. It is. And I appreciate that. People appreciate that. I think a goal of mine, I would endeavor this summer to be making my own cold brew. I'll put it out there.
It's pretty easy. It seems pretty easy.
Yeah. It does.
But yeah,
it does.
I've never ground beans. I've never done that. I've never gotten the coffee beans and ground them, and I've never used ground beans and used like a filter like the way 99%
of people
do. Oh,
you've never even made your
do.
Own coffee?
Never. Never made my own coffee.
Yeah. I make my own coffee a solid amount, but I think I'm always... It's hard to do consistently. I feel like every time I make coffee, it's a...
it's like a little bit better than a coin flip that it's going to come out well. And I don't know why that is.
Yeah. I'm not like a coffee snob, so I'm sure it's whatever I make will be fine for me. But yeah, I can see it like being watered down or not strong enough
or too strong. That's really the issue. I think that for me, it's like if it's watery, I don't mind when it's burnt. I like strong coffee and I like a bitter coffee taste. But if it tastes too watery, that's when I'm pissed.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't taste like mocha sauce.
Yeah. It's clear that you just like chocolate milk, man. Like, you're obsessed with the mocha sauce, the cocoa foam.
Actually, the cocoa foam really is not doing much. It's really the sauce.
It's the sauce. I get it.
So it does the heavy lifting. Which actually, that's why I tried this morning when it was out of season. I tried to just go in and make my own, basically Frankenstein the drink, because I knew the ingredients. And what they didn't have, what you couldn't add, you could add any flavor.
It's the ice. Not the sauce. Not the sauce, yeah. You also need plastic cups if you want to complete the experience at home. Drinking it out of a glass versus cups or something plastic.
I don't miss. I used to bring my own cup to Starbucks, but they stopped letting you do that because of the pandemic.
Wow.
I prefer not to have a Starbucks cup because I don't like to advertise how much I like it, except for on this podcast. But I don't like walking down the street holding a big venti Starbucks mocha cold brew.
Venti is the big one.
Yeah, Trenti's the biggest, but Venti's the max normal person size. And the way the cold brew dark cocoa almond foam looks, like, it's really nice when it's full, but as soon as you take that first sip, like, all the foam is like kind of cakey and weird on the top. It looks like it's starting to dry and congeal on the sides. It's a nasty looking drink. I'd hate to like see someone on the street when I was halfway done with it.
Yeah, all right. A lot of shame, I guess, but they took the drink away from you, so you don't have to worry about it anymore.
I was giving up the drink anyway.
You can't fire me. I quit the drink. You're yelling into the Starbucks app on your phone. I actually cut you. I'm out of season with you, quite frankly. I will take
my money today.
I would like to know.
I just got an iced coffee.
Just tell me who your wholesaler is, because I would like a pallet of the sauce.
Yes.
That's 144 gallons of the sauce, and that'll last me a year, because it never expires, because it's syrup. All right, that's it. That's our time. Thanks for listening. Right. If you have your own questions or theme songs, send them on down to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Of course, the opening one was that Kelsey Ayer jam, If I Were You, named. And this closing one, I'm very excited. I called for it last week, an All My Favorite Songs by Weezer parody. Again, congrats. Just because Jacob LeGrand did it doesn't mean that you guys shouldn't also do it, because right. I like the song so much.
We'll play every single one.
That's right. Don't have anything to plug, but if you can settle an argument with my friend Ryan, that would be legit. This is crazy. Who has better coffee, Starbucks or Dunkin'? Thanks for all that you do.
Whoa.
Love the Patreon Starbucks and the live show. I guess you're an East Coaster, but like, it seems like the divide is West Coast likes Starbucks, East Coast loves Dunkin', but maybe it's a specifically Boston thing. But you didn't grow up with that.
I think it's more of a Boston thing. And it is kind of a Connecticut thing, but like, where we grew up in New Haven, you're a little bit, I felt more aligned with New York City than Boston, or like Northern Connecticut. Or other parts of Connecticut where Dunkin' Donuts would kind of be the thing. I don't know. I also started drinking.
Do you have Dunkin' in a pinch?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I like Dunkin'. I bet if I started drinking coffee earlier, I'd really like Dunkin'. But I started drinking coffee when I was like 24 or 25, and I was living in New York, and there really weren't Dunkin' Donuts. Maybe a couple, but it was a Starbucks city.
That's right. Still is. God,
makes it's a you Starbucks think. World.
I'd love to be real with you guys for a second. Beautiful
fucking mermaid. No, I don't think so. You don't get the opportunity to do that. You don't get the fuck. You don't deserve it because you won the turdy. No one wants to hear authenticity from the turdy guy, right?
Yeah.
You
I was going to say, yeah.
You get that.
I get that. Because you want like the nobody, buzzer.
Right. Yeah, but nobody wants to know who you are or about you or anything because you're the turdy man.
Well, you
are the turdy, man. You are the turdy link. goodbye.
Goodbye. Yeah, that's fine. I'm yeah. saying you can obviously change it as the president. All right, man. Yeah, this is Jacob LeGrand's All My Favorite Song. Weezer parody. Thank you guys for listening. Another shit episode from Blumenfeld, yeah. I guess, right?
Yes. Solid performance from Jay Money, from The Pinch, from Guyton Ice, from Liquid Nice.
Give Amir the chance he's never had. All these stupid turdies make him mad. Half the time his jokes are not that bad. He deserves a mic that's golden clad. Give him here the golden mic. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Give him here the golden mic. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
That was a HeadGum Original.